This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
All around planet Earth, there's 5.3 million congregations meeting today. 5.3 million. 200,000 people are coming to Christ every day around the world. 2,000 new churches are being started, some say every week, some say every month. I'm not real sure, but the Lord knows. Holy Spirit is the managing director of world evangelism. He knows all things. But just a snapshot of what God is doing. And it's a wonderful time. We don't see this on the news, do we? We don't read it in the Herald Sun. But it's a wonderful thing. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I am so thankful for the man that came to our home many years ago. I'd been going to church all my life since I was a little tacker, and right through 3 years in the Bible class, at 16, I was going to disappear from church like all the other kids seemed to do. And then a dear lady said, I think you'd make a wonderful Sunday school teacher. So I became a Sunday school teacher. In the Sunday school of 230 with 38 Sunday school, 38 teachers. And I was there every Sunday morning. Rock and roll Saturday night. I had a fairly good and big band. Friday nights, cabaret balls. Wednesday nights, we'd be playing at a rock and roll dance somewhere. Sundays, I was teaching Sunday school. And he came and he said to me, why do you go to church? No one had ever asked me that before. And I said, well, I like to do something good now and again. How's that for a powerful reason? He said, if you died tonight, where would you go? I said, I haven't got the slightest idea. He said, are you a saved man? I said, I don't know. Are you born again? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Never heard at 25 years of age being born again. I wasn't saved that night. In fact, it took a few weeks, but I realised I was an absolute hypocrite. And I thought, I've got to sort this out. And 6 months later, down by my bed, cried out, Lord Jesus, if it was possible for someone as messed up as me to know you, I'd love to know you. And the light went on. And within 2 years, we were missionaries in New Guinea. God has a mysterious ways of working with people who are leadable, teachable. A few, 18 months ago, a young man by the name of Joel, big, bulky fellow, phoned up and, we got to know him first, and he phoned up and he said, I really want to become a genuine, authentic follower of Jesus. If I came to your place every second Wednesday night, would you teach me how to really follow Jesus? I said, Joel, I'd love to do that. So he comes. We usually make it 7:30. He turns up at 7:05 with a packet of Tim Tams. He was here again on Wednesday night. And but he's got a really interesting background, Polish background. But he married a girl at Geelong and came from a Christian family, got away. They thought, let's get away from Geelong, all our families around here. Let's have a fresh beginning. Let's go up to the Sunshine Coast. So he's up on the Sunshine Coast. He's working as a plumber on a building site. And one day he and another fellow had to carry some gear. This fellow had long hair, tattoos all up and down his arms. As they're walking, carrying this big frame, he turned around and he said to Joel, if you haven't got Jesus, you got nothing. And Joel thought about that, driving home that night, if you haven't got Jesus, you got nothing. And he said to Heather, his wife, let's go to church on Sunday. They went to church on the Sunshine Coast, got saved, he and Heather, and they're a wonderful Christian, exampling couple. And I thought, God uses the most interesting ways to bring people to himself. If you haven't got Jesus, you got nothing. So, you know, it's biblical, really. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Will we see Mr. Packer in heaven? I don't know. Mr. Murdoch? I don't know. But I know that I know that I know by the grace and the blood of Jesus, I'll be there. Isn't it wonderful? When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes in and connects with our human spirit As Romans 8 says, and we know and we think, we don't deserve it, but I know he is Lord of my life. Isn't it wonderful? Wonderful. I don't know what ways you have to reach out to people. I asked permission from Pastor David about this, but I've used this book for many, many years to bring people to Christ, called the Panorama Bible Study Course. There's actually four in this series, but I won't take too much time here, but it goes chronologically and graphically right through from Genesis to Revelation. And you can see the plan of God right through, and it's just wonderful way to show people. There's Adam and Eve, if you can see that, right through to the flood and so on. And people are able to see the plan of God. Christ on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension into heaven, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we're now in this great period of world evangelism. Wonderful period of time. With all the turmoil in the world, with all of the unpredictables and the fragility in the world, God is at work, even in Australia. Isn't that wonderful? Even in Australia. So I'm asked permission if I could just put some of those on the table. There's a couple of freebies there. That Challenge magazine has got three powerful testimonies. And there's a little book written by a longtime friend of mine, pastor in Canberra, and it's called The Primary Purpose. What is a church all about? You know, a church is not a club. Church is not a political party. Church is not an organisation of business. It's an organism. An organism of redeemed people. It's a hospital for sinners. You agree with that? It's a hospital for sinners where people struggling inside, outside, whatever, can come in and be healed, strengthened, changed, modified, made into the likeness of Christ. So we are so blessed. When Margaret and I married in 1968, we were church-going people, but as worldly as just about anybody. We were, trying to have one foot in both camps, and it just doesn't work, I can tell you. We tried to keep the big toe on the narrow road somewhere there, but most of the time we were dancing, on the narrow road, and we were dancing and living on the wide road. You'd get so confused, you don't know who you are. And I'll go into that further at another time. But this wonderful parable, Jesus told 39 parables. And this wonderful parable of the sower, to me, just tells us exactly the situation in the world that we live today. You know, every day we are making choices. Somebody said recently, the average human being makes somewhere between 150 and 180 choices every day. Will we have Nutrigrain or porridge for breakfast? Well, all sorts of choices. Will I have a nice quiet time and read the scripture and strengthen my faith, or will I rush off to work and do something else? Will we pray as a family? When a problem comes, will I get bitter or better? Will I grow in this, or am I going to groan? Every day we're making choices. Will I absolutely wreck my budget and spend something I don't really need, or will I stay within the parameters of God's principles and precepts? Will I truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all I need will be added to me? So choices, choices, choices. I heard about a Christian journalist that was for many years watching two sons of a father who was a chronic alcoholic and died in a very sad alcoholic state. These two sons were so different. One was just like his father, and the other one was a wonderful Christian man, a strong believer, just a very highly respectable and recognised man. And this Christian journalist thought, I'm going to do a story on this. And he went and interviewed these two men individually. And he asked the same question to both of them, why did you turn out like this? And both of them said the same thing, well, what do you expect with a father like mine? And the first one says, well, it was in my DNA. My dad was just an addicted alcoholic. What could I do? It was in my DNA. And the other one said, well, You know, I saw the way my father lived and I thought there's got to be something better than that. And someone led me to Jesus and I learned. You know, if we're wise, we learn by our mistakes. But if we're really wise, we learn by other people's. And this is why we can learn from the characters of the old Bible. We can learn a lot about King Saul. Started off so humble and yet ended up a bitter, twisted old man. So choices, choices, choices. But I love Joshua. You know, he had a good mentor in Moses. Not perfect, but he kept his eyes on this great man of faith, Moses. And we know the whole story, but at 84 years of age, Joshua said to the people of Israel who were starting to wobble and drift and get away from devotion to the Almighty God that had delivered them out of the wilderness. And he said, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice as a young man. And I often say to young Christians, when you come to Christ, start well. Keep going and aim to end well. Aim to end well. It's very important. This parable of the sower tells us of the four different places where the seed went. Now, the seed isn't the word of God. I am absolutely convinced this is in God-inspired book, inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. God used 40 different authors, had the pen in hand to write it over 1,500 years. In three different continents, but there's continuity in the scripture. Right from Genesis to Revelation, there is a harmony and a theme. And it's a word of God. It's the wonderful seed of truth. In this parable, Jesus said that the seed falls into different areas. And he tells about this place where on the path. Now we can imagine in our mind a path where the seed comes and there's nothing much there for it to get a root into. The birds came and ate it up. I've been in many, many meetings, be here in Australia and overseas, invitations given, hands go up, and you say, wow, praise the Lord. A few weeks later, where are they? Where are they? The enemy comes in and they give way and they say, well, maybe it was emotionalism. I was involved with Youth for Christ for many years. Young people would make a decision. They'd get home, tell their mum and dad, oh, don't do that. My dad did that to me when I became a Christian. He said, oh, don't get into religion, Robert. Don't become religious on me. And I said, Dad, I haven't become religious. I've got a relationship with Jesus. And he, oh. And, you know, one way or another, the enemy will try and frustrate the growth, the blessing, the plan, the purpose that God has for a man, a woman, boy and girl. When they step over the line, they say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Then the second place is the rocky places. It comes, the seed comes in, and it goes for some time. Goes for some time. And many people will say, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And, you know, I've had Australian men say, as long as I just get in through the door of heaven, that will suit me. I don't want any crown. And they just want the irreducible minimum grace, just to get them inside the door. Have you heard people say that? Isn't it sad? You know, I just think, go for gold and silver. You know, allow God to use us and to bless us and bless us to be a blessing. Then the third place is the thorns. Well, this is very relevant to our culture in the West, in Australia. Riches, materialism, self-centeredness, selfishness, this self-life that's promoted every day on TV. You are the most important person there is. That's what the TV will tell us. It's all about us. But Jesus said, except a man loses his life in Jesus, we won't find it until we come to Jesus. Let him be the Lord of our lives, the master, our best friend. I often say to Margaret, you're a wonderful wife. You are a fabulous cook. You're a good mother. You're a good grandmother. But you're my second best friend. Jesus is my best friend. He's my best friend. And then she'll sometimes pick a moment, she'll say, you're doing pretty well as a husband, da 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 da. We're coming up to 45 years. And then she'll say, but you're my second best friend. Jesus is my best friend. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. That's the way I believe God designed it, that we have that triangle, Jesus in the middle, God at the top, and a husband and wife bound together in love. Oh, we have some robust fellowship from time to time. Iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? But it's good that we're able to say we are under the favour and the blessing of God. Whether it's good, whether it feels good, or whether it's... She goes quiet for an hour every now and again. Does anybody else do that? Go a bit quiet? But, you know, we are able to say we, as for us and our family, we will serve the Lord. But this good soil, it came up and grew and produced a crop, buying 30, 60, even 100 times. If you'd have seen me 45 years ago, the way I lived, I worked for Meyer. I was a group manager with 13 departments at the age of 23. And I just thought there was no other kingdom bigger than Meyer. They had a plan, an executive plan planned out for me. And I was always one of the earliest there to work, last to leave. I had a vehicle at 23 to drive. And I just couldn't think of anything better than working for Meyer Australia. And then the Lord caught my attention. And I'm so thankful I'm in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. A kingdom has no end. Kingdom love, kingdom truth. And we're thinking about an election. You know, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Except the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And as God's people, we constantly say, Lord, we think we used to be a Christian country, but we're losing it. Can we believe you to come back? And I am praying that God will raise up men and women who love him, who will serve him and honour him. He that honours me, says the Lord, I will honour. And so we've got these four choices. And 25% or one out of four is good soil. Will you say good soil? I want to be good soil. I want to produce 30, 50, whatever. I want to be good soil. Let's hear it. I want to be good soil. You know, it's an act of the will. It's an act of the will. And what's in the will there? You know, they say where there's a will, there's a relative. But, you know, we have a will. When Jesus said to that young man who said, how do I get eternal life? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's your emotions. All your mind. That's your intellect. All your soul. That's your real person. And then love the Lord with your strength. That's your will. And when our will is to be a God pleaser, first and foremost, God's got a hold of us day after day. And we are able to enjoy him rather than just endure him. Many people endure Jesus. We can enjoy him. Enjoy him. Time's running short. I just want to finish. I believe there's four other types of people in the world. The first one is the person that says, well, if there is a supreme being out there, I don't want to know him. You know, why didn't he stop Hitler? You've heard all the arguments, you know. What about this and what about that and all that? And 35% of Australian young people under 35 say, calling themselves atheists now. Can you believe that? In this wonderful country, 35% of the next generation are saying, I'm an atheist. I can't believe it. But that's what the stats say. And so there's people out there that have said, no, I don't want anything to do with it. They might have had a bad something or other church experience, but they've put up the blind. I haven't committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but because they haven't died yet. People are still can be changed. And I've seen many convinced atheists who have had a Damascus Road experience. So that's the first category. The next one is people who live a very, very honourable life. Work hard, they do the right thing, don't cheat on their tax. You know, they are really generous. They even pray. They even can go to church. They can do good works. They're good family people. But it's themselves. They're very close to the kingdom. And Paul was talking to King Agrippa. And after some time, it must have been quite a long sermon, we read it in the book of Acts, King Agrippa says, "You almost persuadest me." An almost persuadest is not a Christian. An almost close to Christian is not a Christian. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We must be born again. We must be born again. And so there's people, many, many people. I mean, 68% of Australians in the last census put a denomination alongside their name in the census. 68%. Church attendance, regular church attendance in Australia today is somewhere between 8 and 9%. It varies from state to state. Queensland is the highest church attending state in Australia. Top end of Tasmania is a much higher percentage. But, you know, we have in these last 30, 40, 50 years, through our growth and our economic growth, so many have said, well, you know, yeah, I'm probably Presbyterian or Anglican, but that's as deep as it goes. Putting our name on the census with a denomination doesn't make us a Christian. We must be born again. So then there's people that have crossed the line and yet multiply. Yes, they have come to a personal relationship with Jesus. They know deep within. They've had the witness of the Spirit. And they've said, yes, I know. Jesus died for me. I understand the cross now. Yes, I understand. The perfect one died for me. God himself so loved me that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. That's me. But then they've gone to sleep. They've gone for weeks, months, never loaned someone a Christian book, never invited someone around to chat about Jesus or to love them. And they've never, I've just recently, in recent times, I've said, when's the last time you gave your testimony to someone? Oh, I shared it at a ladies' meeting about 7 years ago or something like that. Never shared with people. Living in Canberra for 23 years, I pastored four different churches and I was regularly called out, oh, Pastor Brown, you don't know me, but you know my cousin. And our uncle is very sick in Canberra Hospital. He's in Ward 7A, bed 7, and he's not got long to go. Will you go up and see him? Yeah, sure. What did you say? 7A. And what's his name? Bill. So go in and there's Bill, tubes all around, and introduce myself. Bill, how are you going? Oh, well, they're doing the best they can. They're doing some more tests. And, you know, how the staff, oh, they're wonderful staff. Bill, how are you going with the boss? Well, I left him behind years ago. How did you do that? Well, life got busy and, you know, business and all that. And I did go to Sunday school when I was a kid, but, oh, you know, how would you like to get peace with God? Just about every man will say, I'm too far gone. I put my hand on their chest and I say, no, you're not, you know. Your heart's still going. Would you like him to come in and be your best friend? You sure it's not too late? It's not too late. And would you, do you got any guilt? Oh, yeah. Fear? Oh, yeah. Have you got any unforgiveness? Any aggro in you? Oh, yeah. How would you like to get rid of that? Well, can you? How? Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Not my words, Jesus. Let me pray for you. So I'll pray and then I'll say, forget I'm here and then just tell Jesus what the baggage you've got here. Out it all comes, Lord, you know. Put my hand on their shoulder. Lord Jesus, thank you. The bill is now a forgiven man. Shake his hand. Bill, this is the first day of the rest of your life. He's with you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, thank you. Now, Adrian's in the bed over the road. Go and see him and the next in the ward. They always, straight away, see, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I believe the real evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is when you've got a genuine burden for the lost. Is there any amen there? That is the real burden of the people that are spirit-filled. We've got a burden for the lost and we can't do anything else but try this or that or whatever. Hospitality, evangelism, go and visit. I visited 3 men in an hour and a half last Thursday. I do a bike ride and I go around. One was 93. And he said, he was just getting into his car, going to drive. And I said, well, I won't hold you up, Ern. He said, that's all right. He said, yesterday I went to a funeral. It was one of those funerals. He said, oh, what do you say? He said, no prayer, no hymn, no reading. He hasn't been to church for 25 years. Why do they have funerals like that? And I said, Ern, some people just want to leave God out. How can they do that when they know there's something on the other side? I said, Ern, we need to talk some more. Do you know, out there, millions are waiting to be told. Amen? Now, the fourth area, and I've got to watch the time, the fourth area, those who have said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the springs of living water. He is the bread of life. He's the Alpha and Omega. Now, we're all going to have a bad hair day. I'm getting less and less all the time. But, you know, we're going to have some days where our feelings are down there. Our feelings can be up there, but we don't trust our feelings. If you trust your feelings, we're all over the ship. But, you know, King David said he learned how to build himself up in a holy faith. He said, I will praise him. My lips will praise him and his praise will be continually in my mouth. You know, when we're lonely, having a bad hair day, you know, I often do this when I'm in a shopping centre and I walk around and I see people and I say, oh, Lord, how can we reach them? I duck into the men's room and I get in the cubicle. Hallelujah, Lord, all those people, those lost sheep out there, and you're the good shepherd. Go after them, Lord. If is there someone I can speak to today? You know, he that wins souls is wise. We are wise if we have a burden for others. If we believe in our hearts and confessing with our mouths, that's the evidence of salvation in our life. By their fruit, you'll know them. Amen? Amen. So this is not a school of evangelism, but I believe every church should be an outreaching church. John Wesley, who brought together with others wonderful change in England in the 1700s, he said, evangelise or perish. Evangelise or perish. I've just come back from New Guinea 4 weeks ago. 50 years ago, they were headhunters, payback killing, 4 times more women than men, killing one another. Tribe called the Hulis, 50,000 at that time. We went there in 1972 and planted churches. I just roamed all around the hills because they don't live in villages in the highlands. They've all got their little acre here, there and everywhere. And I'd go around 3 or 4 days a week just preaching with an interpreter. Young guy, hardly knew anything about the Old Testament. All I'd heard of King David, I knew something about the Psalms, knew nothing about the kings or all that. All I knew that Jesus died on the cross. Do you know, today amongst that tribe of 300,000, there's 500 churches. 200,000 are in church today. And when I go up there, all the time there's pastors coming, where can we go to tell other people? We can't keep this to ourselves. Pastors get $50 a month. So there's a rise coming for you, Pastor David. Do you know, it's a wonderful thing to have a heart We don't have to become wackos, but to have a heart to reach out to other people and love them into Jesus. Will you do that? That's a big part of being good soil. That's a big part of being good soil and the outworking of saying, Lord, here am I, send me. And God will bless you. Father, I just thank you for your sons and daughters here today. I thank you, Lord, for these kingdom people. Thank you, Lord, that this is a great commission church. Thank you, Lord, for the heart that this body of Christ, your family of faith right here, has for you. Lord, there's a next level for this church to go to, and another level, and another level. And Lord, I just believe that in the next few months, there'll be many, many, many people led to this family of faith here, that they'll be nurtured and they'll be encouraged, they'll be loved, they'll be accepted. And Lord, if this church just doesn't have to push out the walls in the next few years, I'll be surprised, because Lord, you are the Lord of the church. It's your church. It's not our church. And you said you would build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we thank you for what you've done, but the best is yet to come. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.com.